All right, everybody, if we can find our seats, and quiet down, we're going to get into the word today. Good morning, everybody. All right. Let's see. We got a few more who need to find their seat, but just want to introduce myself. You guys can quiet down a little bit. All right. So some of your faces are familiar. Some of them not so much. I've been here several times. I think I've seen most of you in this room before. But my name is John Williams. I'm an elder in training at this church. And I wouldn't be up here if it weren't for my brother Steve being gracious to not only fill in, but to bow back out and let me come back up here because I had an opening that allowed me to be here this morning. Some of you have heard the gospel over and over and over again. Now, I don't know your church situation. How many of y'all would say you go to church every Sunday? Okay, all right. Okay, and some of y'all don't go to church, all right? Now, church is not what saves you, but saved people go to church, okay? So I want us to understand that we're about to get into Matthew chapter 4 today, and we're going to get into the gospel. I want to first explain to you what the gospel is. The gospel comes from the Greek word euangelion. So whenever we hear the word evangelism, it means good news. Now, many of you turn on your TV and you see there's nothing good on the TV nowadays, right? This culture is turning godless and demonic day by day. The things that are acceptable that we see on our television were not even dreamed of when I was a child. You know, and so this is, in a day like today, we need the Lord more than ever. All right? So let's get right into the text, and then I'm going to share with you what the gospel is. It says here in Matthew chapter 4, verse 12, "Now when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, 'The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region of the shadow of death, light has dawned.' From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to bring your word and your gospel, Lord. I pray that you would prick hearts of those in here who don't know you, that you would call to life those who are dead in trespasses and sins and count them among your elect, Father. I pray that your good news would go forward and that the kingdom of God would be manifest right before the eyes of those who do not know you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so in this small section in Matthew's gospel, we see that John the Baptist was put in prison, and he was put in prison for preaching God's law. So at that time when Jesus came into this Gentile dominated area of Capernaum, which was Zebulun and Naphtali, which is a region that was by the coastlands. And it was a bunch of wicked people, because that word Gentile can mean three things. It can mean heathen, unbeliever, you know, or a nation or a non-Jew, right? So in this region, there were a lot of these people who didn't know the Lord, because it says that they were in deep darkness. And so what does it mean when you're in deep darkness? Well, when you're in deep darkness, you don't understand that you have violated God's law. God has told all of us, "I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me." Okay? "Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not steal." Okay? "You shall not commit adultery." And if we go to the next chapter, Jesus gives a greater understanding that the law is not just some physical thing that we keep outside, but it's also spiritual, that it goes into the internal desires of the heart. that you can lust after a woman, or a woman can lust after a man, and you can commit adultery in your own heart. Okay? The Bible says that if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. Okay? So many people who come to this pantry week after week may think that they know the Lord Jesus Christ, but in fact, you don't, some of you. Okay? You need to understand that God's law has condemned the whole world under sin. And without Christ, without perfection, okay, God requires something that you and I cannot give. And that is the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. So if you come before God when you die, if there's any of you in the sound of my voice that think, when I stand before God, I'm just going to tell God a few things, or I'm just going to show God how good of a life I lived, or how good of a person I am. Well, you're calling Jesus a liar, because Jesus said there's none good but God. So in these coastlands that we see, and I don't know what it is about coastlands. Okay, I grew up in the coastland. I grew up in San Francisco. There's a lot of wickedness in coastland places. Okay, there's a lot of godlessness. Okay, there's a lot of vileness that goes on. I'm not saying that inland places are any less wicked, but it's something unique about coastlands. So when Jesus was preaching here in these coastlands, in the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, the text tells us that it was a land of darkness, that the people who sat in darkness saw a great light. Okay? And Jesus came to fulfill Isaiah's prophecy and shining that light on the people who sat in darkness. Now, what is that light? Jesus is that light. The good news is that light. The gospel is that light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world in John 8:12. He who follows me will never walk in darkness. Now, what does that look like? Okay, I'm going to tell you what that looks like. I'm going to tell you what happened in my own life. Okay, I grew up Roman Catholic. And I remember God had my wife preaching the gospel to me, taking me to church over and over and over. And I didn't understand why she was so adamant that what I believed was not what she believed. Okay, she was a Baptist. Okay, religion does not save you. The Lord God is what saves you. He alone saves sinners. Okay, so at that time, we were going to church, and one of the pastors came to my house because I asked him, I want to know more about what's different between what you believe and what I was taught. So he came to my house one night and he said, you know, what do you think is going to happen to you when you die, young man? I said, well, you know, I believe I'm going to go to heaven. He said, why? I said, well, I'm a pretty good guy. He shook his head. And I said, well, why are you shaking your head like that, man? You don't know me. He said, I know what the Bible says. And the Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Okay? And so one thing I didn't understand at the time is that when it comes to God's law and you go through each one of them, I don't think there's any of them I haven't broken. So it's kind of ironic that I would sit up there and tell him that I'm good. When I look at the law of God, I see that's not the case. I'm pretty evil. Jesus called his own disciples evil. So what does that mean for us? Are we any different? That's right. And what is sin? Sin is lawlessness. 1 John 3:4. And what we need to understand is that you have broken God's law. God is a just judge, and he is angry with the wicked every day. So if you come here, it's good that you've got food that we're giving you here from this church. But don't come here with your belly hungry and leave here with your soul broken and lost and walk right out those doors on your way to hell. Okay? Because in John chapter 6, they did the exact same thing. They wanted Jesus to be this king of bread that was going to just supply their physical needs. And Jesus told them, do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures unto everlasting life. Okay? And that bread is Christ. The only way a sinner can be saved from their lawless deeds is to put their faith and their hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Bible says repent and believe on the name of Jesus, it means to change your mind and agree with God that he is holy and you are not. that he is perfect and you are lawless, and that you need to be saved from your sins. Okay? So a lot of times people just think that salvation is a get out of hell pass. It's not just that. Because in Matthew 1:21, it says, they shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So when you become a Christian, when God showed me that I wasn't a good person, it wasn't that Christ became just my redeemer from the righteous requirements of the law. He actually became my master and my savior from sin in this life. That doesn't mean that I'm perfect. But guess what? The things that I loved to do back then, I didn't love them anymore. I couldn't get comfortable in them anymore. It doesn't mean I never sin. I still sin. But you know what? It's not the same. It's like somebody's always reaching over and tapping me like, hey, man, you better get that together. That's not right. See, before, I didn't care. I didn't care about the things of the world being wrong. I didn't care about the things of the God of the Bible not being in my life. But once God awakens you from your dead state to spiritual life, he enables you to love the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean you're going to love him perfectly. It doesn't mean your repentance is going to be perfect. But it means that he alone is your perfection. And you're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. So, this gospel, in verse 17, it said, from that time that Jesus came and preached, saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, guess what? The king has come. That means the kingdom is here. Okay. Many of y'all who do not go to church, I would urge you. Okay. Don't take what I'm saying lightly. Tomorrow morning, we have church service here. We have Sunday school here at 9 o'clock. We have church at 10:30. Steve Kessner is a deacon. You'll see him there. You'll see me by the grace of God. He gives us breath. Okay. Brother Ron's a member and plenty others. Okay. Cecilia. Okay. You cannot come here and take these words and cast them behind you forever. Okay, the Bible says now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. Okay? And that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the righteous wrath of God. Because if you do not call on Christ, you will die and you will suffer eternal conscious torment in hell. That means that it will never be over. There are plenty of people I love who've been in hell for a long time. My little baby girl, 6 years old, she asked me, Daddy, where's your aunts and uncles? I said, many of them are in hell, baby. Some of them are with the Lord. She's like, well, are they going to get out? I said, no, baby. They were in hell last week. They were in hell last month. They were in hell last year. They were in hell when you woke up to brush your teeth. They're going to be in hell when you go to bed tonight. They're never going to get out of hell. Okay? Jesus said the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. So you better understand that this is real. Okay? You will take your last breath in this life. And Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man. A lot of y'all maybe even grew up in church say, I don't believe that no more. Well, guess what? It don't matter what you believe. God is true whether you believe it or not. Amen. And you're going to meet him when you die. Amen. Because it says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this comes the judgment. Hallelujah. And if you're not in Christ, you will be judged by the law of God. Amen. And at that day, you will be found, declared guilty, and you'll be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. Now, my prayer is that that does not happen to you. My prayer is that you would call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Amen. Okay? But just understand the time is running out. You do not know when you're going to take your last breath. Just like I don't. So I urge you to consider the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And as you receive your food today, if you already know him, thank him. Praise him. Because this takes an awful lot every week after week. Okay, Cecilia and all the people here, Ron, everybody that comes together, Brother Steve. Hey, you don't see what goes on to get this food to you every week. So you praise the God of heaven who made manna come down for you. Okay? And for those of you who do not know him, you want to get to know him. Because when he comes, he's not coming back as a baby in a manger. He's coming back as a lion of the tribe of Judah. Okay? All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to bring your word this morning. Thank you for Brother Steve's kindness and his willingness to lead at this pantry regularly, Lord. I pray that you would bless the work of his hands and all the other workers here. And Lord, I pray that you would bless those who heard your good news, that they would be pricked in their heart, that you would regenerate them, grant them faith, repentance, Lord, and count them into the kingdom. Father, continue your work on here and save your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.